It's very hot and very wonderful, isn't it? You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I would really like, of course, if you could really pay close attention today to everything, because we're going to continue in this subject of last week. Thursday evening. Now, if anyone saw this, I hope you did. I hope a bunch of you saw it. But I pulled up in front of the studio, and I was looking straight at a donkey in the sky, a black donkey in the sky. Did anyone see that besides me? No, probably not. I tell you, it was a perfect donkey. It was black. There was a grayish cloud behind it in the west, kind of the northwest, a little bit to the northwest, because I was right in front of the studio and just fixing to get out, and I could see this to the right. And the donkey was black, solid black, had a perfect head. If you've seen our men riding the donkeys here lately, it's a beautiful sight to see. I tell them, get closer to the road, man, so everybody can see. but he had a perfect head. There's nothing else like a donkey, you know, in the world that I know of. Had a perfect shaped head, perfect body, but he had a pack on his back and a perfect tail, even a perfect tail coming out from that donkey. And I started calling people, and of course I think people go home and get naked and get under the air conditioner, and it takes them 45 minutes to an hour to get dressed once you call them. So get out here in a hurry, you know. Well, a hurry is an hour and a half later, you know, so a cloud's not going to stay there that long. But this was a cloud. Now, you can make what you will of this, but this was a cloud, and in front of him was a dark coming up in front of him, but spaced in between him and this part of this black cloud in front of him was coming up just like a tree. And he is standing looking at that tree with a full pack on his back. Right. I think you made it. That's what I think. I think you made it. The next day was, of course, preparation day. Started right after sunset. And, of course, that was on Thursday evening. Then sunset was preparation day, and everybody that I met with was getting ready for the Sabbath, the great Sabbath. We've got, a white donkey colt now that was born to us into the great Yahweh pasture, and hardly wait to get a picture of that. You know, we got a picture of the donkey getting the donkeys up to tie them to the branch. It looked like this donkey was actually tied to that tree. This is what it looked like. And you can make what you will, but I gave you that picture of that cloud exactly as I saw it. I think I'm going to get some artists to try to draw this thing for me so you can see it in picture. We've now went over 100 million people, 101,660,714. Yes, we know that they got the message. What they do with it, of course, I think probably it's going to be like the Samaritan woman. I'm thinking that there's a lot of talk going on out there now throughout the world concerning this and concerning the work of the two witnesses. And if anyone's listening that don't know the prophecies of the why Yeshua came riding into Jerusalem on two donkeys, or a donkey and a donkey's colt, The first prophecy of that is of the 12 tribes, where he inherits the righteous scepter, a scepter of righteousness. He's the only one that's lived that perfect scepter of righteousness. And of course, he is the high priest and king over the donkey's colts today, whose foundation, as we covered last week, is the prophets. The foundation of our foundation is the prophets, what they left to us in writing. And this is what what Yahshua and all the apostles harped on, was believing what is written by the inspired prophets and following what is written by them. And, of course, Yahshua lived the example for us, and the 12 disciples wrote about those examples. So that's our foundation, the prophets and apostles, with Yahshua being the chief, over the high priest, over the house of Yahweh. And under his guidance, we've reached 101 million. That's over 100 million people have seen our website. Yes, 100 million, 101,660,714. I would say from those, they could pretty well cover the world with a little bit of gossip or talk. There's great gossip as well as bad, you know. That's great gossip. In fact, if people who like to gossip, if you'd turn that around, it could be beneficial if you would start picking things like, don't miss next week. You can tell everybody that and keep reminding everybody of that. Bring your notebooks, because some very important stuff is going to be brought next week that's going to boost your faith, your confidence in the scriptures tremendously. And it'll be brought out next week, so don't miss it. Don't miss it. Be here. Tell everybody. Gossip about it all week long. You could also pick things from the Book of Yisrael and the prophetic word, the newsletter, and say, hey, did you read so-and-so? That'll put them on the spot, see? Well, why didn't you? How come you don't know what I'm talking about? You should have read it. Well, anyway, Yahshua, when he had a mission, he was bound to do this. He was led by Yahweh, inspired by Yahweh to stop off at the well of Jacob. Y'all remember where that was? And then the well of Jacob. You should know why he was there. If you studied the rest of that, you'd know why he was there. But then a certain woman came out, which Yahweh had inspired. You know, that's the reason. There's no way of outthinking Yahweh. Satan would like to. But when Yahweh tells you you can believe the prophecies, brethren, it's because that billions, maybe billions of years, trillions of years in advance, Satan, when she started thinking about destroying Yahshua, when she started thinking about destroying this last day's work, Yahweh, probably billions of years before that, already had it planned to shut her off. See, there's no way you can beat that. And she didn't know it. Yahweh had it planned billions of years before that to stop Satan in her tracks. He allowed her to kill thousands, trillions of people in trying to prevent this last work, because the last work is the greatest. It's the most important of all, the work you're in right now. It'll be talked about throughout all eternity. Yes. They'll forget about the children that came out of Egypt. That's what the scripture says, because of the work that you're going to be doing in these last days. In fact, you're doing it now. 100 million people? Man, I can't even think that big. But 100 million. 100 million. That blows my mind right there. And we're going to be teaching, you are, 2 billion people. But Back to the Samaritan woman. She comes out, and Yahshua gave her a message. And, of course, she said, well, why are you, Yadiah, talking to me? And the big question there now that the commentators get on, they can't figure this one out, and I don't know if you've thought about it or not, but how did she know that he was a Yadiah? Well, that was a big question. She said, the Yadim hate us. She didn't say that, but the Yadim did. Not the Yadim, but the one she was referring to, which was the Pharisees in Jerusalem and Israel. The Yadim, they didn't hate anybody. In fact, they loved their enemies, and they followed Yahweh's laws. That was the true ones that lift up holy hands to Yahweh. But, of course, she was speaking of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, which hated the Samaritans with a passion, as they do everybody else on earth today besides themselves. They still have the same hatred and this violence that the great elder Kohan Sophaniah just brought to you. That's a result of that hatred that it was brewing back then. But they didn't realize what was causing the hatred. There's an article I intended to bring it today, but they're saying, don't let your children get on the internet, on Facebook, they say, and MySpace is the worst one. But they say that without any amount of it, any amount of this, paints the picture in the child's mind and starts that child to wanting to go that way. And they mention drunk children laying in the floor, some smoking marijuana, even leads to marijuana, they said. It leads to it leads to everything. Fornication, adultery, bestiality, everything. It puts it in the minds of the people, and they see the children doing this on MySpace. They say, I've never looked at MySpace, and I've never looked at the other. Don't intend to, but they say it's all there, and they see it, and then it's placed in the child's mind, and the child starts wanting to do it. And of course, he doesn't even know what's leading him in that direction, but the picture was painted. What you need to do, and I hope you haven't grown tired and quit this, but the following of the mother of Samuel, I don't know how much you've read about her, but she was a wonderful woman that taught Samuel, and of course she taught him from very small. She actually, they said, quoted the laws of Yahweh to him while he was sleeping, which meant, and this was before he was born, too. They actually said this before he was born. Oh, thank you. Here it is. Yes. Facebook raises teenage drugging. Researchers say teenagers who often use social networking sites such as Facebook and MySpace are at higher risk of drinking alcohol, smoking, and substance abuse. A study of 1,037 U.S. teens aged 12 to 17 and over half of their parents suggested that social network users were five times more likely to report smoking, three times more likely to drink alcohol, and twice as likely to use marijuana compared to those who were not networking. The study also suggests that 70% of the participants use social networking sites on a typical day, reported researchers at the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse in Columbia University. Results showed that 26% of the teens networkers reported drinking alcohol, 10% said they smoked tobacco, and 13% confirmed using marijuana. The study further showed that seeing photos of other adolescents or children drinking or lighting up a joint on social networks makes these behavior more acceptable to teens. Findings reveal that 40% of teens were exposed to such images, half of them before they were 13 years old. These kids were also more able to procure weed or prescription drugs even, and four times more likely to smoke up. That's a pretty great study right there. And I believe that if you went back to the ways that Samuel's mother raised him, and we've made it easy for you. You know, we got these things on tape. We got it where you can play a tape recorder. We got it where you can play it on your computer, on your television set. You know, stick a disc in it, turn it on. Break the line that's going to the to the other crap that you don't want. we got it so easy you could play it day and night if you want to, that it never stops coming from the house of Yahweh. It's a 24-hour thing. If you want Samuel's in your house. It's like the peaceful solution now. It won't work unless you use it. It doesn't work automatically. Well, the other side. We're going to get back into Nimrod again. And it would be great if you could go back and get that tape or what is written in the Book of Yisrael, the Prophetic Words magazines. I told Shaul this morning we needed to reprint that one magazine because stuff that he'll be bringing out next week, but it's very up-to-date news now because of Dick Cheney's book. I think we ought to sell Dick Cheney's book along with that nuclear. But all of that will be brought next week to you. So, but on the teaching your children now, if you you could teach the Book of Yisrael straight from that television set or your computer. So that's the way to keep your children from going this other way. The Nimrod system that was set up by Cush, that was fathered by Cush. No, it wasn't a son. His children were given earlier in verse 7, and then or verse 6, somewhere along in there, and then verse 8 then shows that he fathered Cush. But the word there is different. It doesn't, and it means that he created this educational system that we know now, and we brought this out in one of the books about the Gnostics. Now, I don't know if you remember that, but it was in Did Yeshua Pre-Exist? The Gnostic Religion. Now, when we get into this, you'll see that this system was actually taken in Egypt. It was really went into in a big way, and of course, this was taught, and oppression started. If you think about the oppression right now, the same system is set up in the United States and almost 90% of the countries now, and they're trying to enforce it on the others. But they start a city. If you could think about this, they start a colony, say a colony out here. The earth is unpopulated. So they start a colony, and they start teaching this higher education and called Gnosticism. And then they get the people to live in there. They're living under protection, and of course they're not living out to where other colonies could come and capture their property and take it over. They have a strong army that can take care of them. And, of course, the Patriots, like of America and other places, they say if you have a government that strong, it can also take away all your rights and put oppression upon you. Well, this is what took place in Egypt. But after they built the city, which Yahweh shows they built several and put and set up this system in several of these, then the people felt safe living in that city. They felt like they were protected. They all had jobs and was contributing to the municipal system in every way. And then here come the oppression, just a little at a time, but it started adding. The king wanted more because he had this project here. And then he wanted some more for this project here. Well, his projects began to multiply, and with each multiplication, then he would need more taxes. I just read where they're mulling over some new taxes for us here in the United States. They're wanting to start charging us for highway miles now. Not only gasoline, but the miles you drive now. You don't pay enough on your gasoline. Well, why? Well, they need to start another war over here. They need some more bombs or something that they're wanting to create. Well, this is what took place in Egypt. The people didn't want to leave because they had houses, and they owned land and stuff, you know, in the Egyptian cities that they had moved to, and they had a protection. Well, they were forced in this way to take on another job because, you know, if you don't pay these highway miles, if you don't have the money to pay them, if you don't pay this tax or that tax or that tax, you know, then you won't have any land. You won't have a house, so you won't have to worry about that. We'll take your house and you can be on the road. Well, this is the oppression that slowly crept in to the system. It wasn't even 10% like Yahweh's government operates on. Now imagine that today. Imagine that if the government cut this back to 10% and says, this is all we want, is just 10%. Could you imagine that? Well, the governments would all shut down. They got their budgets cut this year because their system is somewhat failing. And, of course, they have a lack of funds coming in. The hotels, like was built in Abilene, they were expecting from each room a certain amount of taxes for the city. Well, our city fathers here planned on that much money and said, we're going to put in all of these projects right here. Man, they're everywhere. Well, of course, the motels wasn't rented. And only about half of the rooms that they thought was going to be rented was rented. So half of their taxes came in. So half of their projects had to be cut. So this is what the big fuss is about now. Well, here comes some off of our schools. Here comes some off of this community service we're giving you. See, they pass out a few services, too, for you to get you hooked. And then they start taking those services back. I saw, what was it on the news yesterday, a governmental office that was shutting down. I can't remember what it was now, but several hundred people were going to be laid off because they were cutting services back from the people. Well, anyway, you get the picture here of what the Nimrod system is about. This school of taking knowledge, they say, this is their way of saying this, that they take the knowledge that exists and then they teach you more about that knowledge till you come to a higher knowledge to where you can really you can really expand and you really will enjoy life more. Some of it, of course, was the making of the money through Christmas, Halloween, Easter, as we see in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, that they brought out of Egypt with them. That is, the ones that Yahweh from the 12 tribes of Israel, that he brought out from Egypt. Now, get this, the people that went into Egypt were the same people from Noah that from which came forth the 12 tribes. Remember, it was Noah and his family. So the ones that went down into Egypt, they were the same breeding. There was no different bloodlines or anything here. They just came from different individuals, from Noah and his family. Before that, they came from Adam and Eve. But the system is what made them different. It's what made the Samaritans, who said, we're different from the people in Jerusalem, and we're hated. In fact, history says the kindest thing that they call them Jews, referring to, of course, the people in Jerusalem, led by the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. The kindest thing they ever said about the Samaritans was they would like for them to die. They wanted them all dead. And no resurrection, they said. Don't resurrect this people. Well, some of them believed in resurrection. Others didn't. Remember, that was a split. But the split that came from Samaria and the Pharisees and Sadducees was that the Samaritan people still believed in following the prophets. Remember, this woman knew the prophecies. Our forefathers said we're to worship here. She was speaking of Galilee, where the Savior was born. It was just right there where Jacob's well was. That's what it points out, Jacob's well. That's where he stopped. That was one of the great houses of Yahweh. And the woman came to this area. Well, naturally, she'd know who he was. That didn't seem like such a big deal. I think I had that one figured out when I was 15 years old. At the most 16, but that's where they balk, is how did she know he was a Jew and they were not a Jew and he wasn't supposed to be talking to them? Well, of course, he's wearing long tassels. No, he didn't wear them outside. he looked like the ordinary crowd that he, in fact, sneaked out into when they got to wanting to kill him. He'd just sneak right through them, not even able to be seen. He mixed right in. He was one of them. He wasn't a separatist. He didn't wear those fish head caps, nor the bright red inner tallit. You know, the Pope wears a tallit. He knows what that tallit stands for, but it's different. It's different. And you could see readily by looking at me and looking at the Pope that we were of two different religions. Well, if you remember that religion, Yahshua said they liked to pray standing in the streets where everybody could see them, you know, while they counted their beads. Well, of course, this wars took place between these two religions, and there wasn't a stopping point on it, but they never did win. If you look at their battles that they had, they never did win. But they kept building their armies up stronger and stronger. That was Nimrod's school. They kept building their armies stronger to try to take over the other colony or city or whatever it is they wanted. Now, in with the Pharisees, they had a long-range plan. Some of it is reaching down to us today. And of course, that plan was revealed somewhat in this information that will be brought out next week. So, but this is all planned out, and much of it has been planned for centuries, brethren, and they have their school set up to take care of it. When they found the Hebrew people in America, they knew exactly what to do with those people, and they did it. And of course, history is full of it today, and you're getting more and more of it. We got another film showing now the so-called American Indians and how they were, how they tried to wipe them out, literally wipe out their culture anyway. And their culture wasn't what you see called American Indians. They gave them that name themselves when they were trying to wipe them out. They gave it to the school children and taught that to them. But those people were Hebrew people. They were worshipers of Yahweh, not the house of Yahweh. But remember how many little different groups would leave the house of Yahweh, like the Samaritans. They were a little bit different because they took up things, like they would say, well, like Jeroboam said, keep the feast over here. Let's don't go back over here to do it. Well, just that bit of difference, see, and this is what she said. Our forefathers said, we are to keep Yahweh's feast here, or we are to worship Yahweh here, which meant keeping the feast here. But now they're saying, keep it in Jerusalem. Well, who was saying that? Of course, it's the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. Well, that separated them, and so they had war, but they couldn't take over Samaria. Yahweh wouldn't allow it. But they did hate them and wanted to wipe them out. And of course, the group of people that taught Yahweh's laws, many of them were there, and many of them knew those prophecies, bits and pieces of it, bits and pieces, and from these started religions and small groups that would spread, of course, and the word would spread from them. Well, this is what Yeshua started there with that woman, and that's what's going on right now among the people of the world. From that, I have a letter that I want to read you from the visit that he took to Spain. But first, China expanding its nuclear stockpile. Well, now this is the same thing. Now, for China to do this, expanding, she needs taxes to do it with. That's what you saw in Egypt. That's where the depression was. You know, don't let up on your taxes. You know, we're not going to furnish you with any material from now on. You do it yourself. But you bring those taxes in, big time. And this is how much you're to bring. Well, if you see, remember that, this was the oppression, the same thing being put on the people today. There's another one they're working on. They want to charge everyone who pulls into a church parking lot a fee. Now, that's another tax they're fixing to, wanting to. Whether they get it through or not, the preachers are all griping about it, and they're saying it won't, that you're just not going to do it. But I've seen this take place I don't know how many thousand times, and the people that church voted into office, when they got into office, they forgot that church existed. And they went ahead and put through the project, because if they went the other way, then they would suffer persecution, they would be talked about, they wouldn't get any higher in politics than they already were. So they joined the team. If you can't beat them, join them. If you can't defeat them, join them. And that's what all of them do. And of course, the team is put together by the Vatican. And the Vatican, as Yahweh plainly shows, is running this show that started back long centuries ago with four great powers that would rise up with hopes of ruling the world in these last days. Well, of course, Yahweh shows us the last days, and as powerful as they might become, Yahweh only allows them to do what he's prophesied for them to do, and he allows us to do. And remember this, because Yahweh is protecting you and going to guide you Just believe, believe all that the prophets have spoken. As the song goes, don't be deceived, only believe all that the prophets have spoken. Have y'all got one written yet? Anybody? Surely there's one out there that'll fit that. Okay, China is expanding its nuclear forces with a new multi-warhead mobile missile and keeps its strategic stockpile in deep underground bunkers. The Pentagon disclosed it in its annual report to Congress on the China military. So they're keeping all of this, and the United States knows it, but they're keeping it in bunkers to where it can't be seen. But somehow, you remember the one with all the eyes, the creature, the living creature, or power, speaking of powers, four great powers, that becomes active. It's living. It becomes active. Those four great powers. And, of course, that's called the quartet today. China is thought to have up to 75 long-range nuclear missiles, including hard-to-find road mobile DF-31 and DF-31A intercontinental ballistic missiles that can actually reach these things they're talking about here can reach the United States from China. According to the report, which was released Wednesday, China also has 120 intermediate and medium range missiles. The report states that the first time China appears to be developing a third road missile, ICBM, possibly, capable of carrying a multiple independently targetable reentry vehicle. Now, that is quite a weapon. Disclosure in the annual assessment revealed China's deep underground facilities in the north that is connected with more than 3,000 miles of tunnels. 3,000 miles of tunnels. The facilities are used for storing and hiding missiles and nuclear warheads and for command bunkers hardened against nuclear attack. I don't know if our bombs that we have that cost us, how much did it cost us? I can't even keep up with the increase, but it's in the trillions now, right? Maybe some of that can be brought shortly. Well, I know we got a bunch of it in the news articles, if we can get it on to you. But the report said China's underground nuclear sites are based on Beijing's assumption that it might have to absorb an initial nuclear blow prior to engaging in nuclear counterattack. So they're ready to hit at any time. And they got the weapons to do it with, which started in, of course, Genesis 10, with this higher learning that is higher than Noah had to offer. A higher education than what Noah offered. Noah offered the basics, the basic education, which was Yahweh, his laws, guarding the food supply, all the laws that he gave for living in peace. And this is what Yahshua said, seek this first, because that's the kingdom that was given to mankind. And he said to Moshe, see to it that you make all things according to this pattern. The pattern is what Noah had to offer, the basic way of life. Now, Yahshua said, in seeking the other that they're promising you now, which Yahshua also said, what if you gain the whole world and you haven't gained eternal life? You won't be here to enjoy it. So why not do what Yahweh said and Yahshua, who is our chief cornerstone, seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the knowledge, the laws, the governments that Yahweh gave us. And Yahshua said, seek it first. And then all these things will be added to you in the second life, in the second phase of Yahweh's plan. Now, if you seek this way of corruption first, this is what China has done. China is the people there are suffering much oppression. But in order to compete in today's world of nations who are all like they were in Egypt and like it became in the land of Israel, where Yahweh brought the 12 tribes out and they started splitting up and making war against each other and spreading as they went, creating more armies and so forth, which Rome took them all in, or the biggest majority of the men, offered them a deal they couldn't resist, and it was much wanted, much craved, as we see the scriptures indicate in the Acts of the Apostles even. But before that, it's shown by the prophets that this was what the people wanted. They wanted security, but they also wanted this upper way of life of acquiring and acquiring and acquiring, even goofy stuff that they won't even use. Did you ever hear of a storehouse that's full of junk that you never go there to use a thing out of it? That's some of the oppression. I wonder what in the world I bought that thing for anyway. Well, to put in this storage box that I'll never use again. Lock that sucker up where nobody can steal it. Nobody can use it, but at the same time, I'll never go back there again. You ever hear of that? And then they have this portable building job where, man, you can take all this stuff. They show this woman taking all this stuff out of the house and putting it in the storage building. And then, you can go back and go shopping again. You can shop till you drop now every night. But to do this, the husband's got to have a second job and then a third job, and he still can't pay the bills. So what are we going to do here? We'll put the wife to work. She'll pay taxes too. Well, this is the oppressive system that we see here. And China's got to have this. Now, we see something else here. Russia, China resist UN, Syria sanctions, push envoy. Well, I know you've heard of the Syrian sanctions now. It's somewhat similar to as it was to Egypt when they went in and took over Egypt. First, they created the peaceful demonstrators that claimed they were being murdered, so we had to go in and protect them. And of course, we had to get rid of the king that was over them before we could take them in. Well, that works better, seems like, than what we did with Iraq in going over and taking Iraq and of course the wealth and so forth, that the other nations are saying, this is what's taking place. Well, of course, they're objecting now. Well, they're also objecting to certain things that's going on here. One of them is Syria. The other one is Libya. They're objecting heavily to this. Russia and China. Now, China has a huge stockpile of weapons. They're capable right now, in probably a 24-hour period, of destroying the United States. I would say they have that capability. The United States, on the other hand, has the same capability with China and any other state, any other nation. So what they're trying to do and what they're working so hard at and wanting more taxes, more taxes, more taxes, and wanting to keep their oil supplies coming from those nations, what they're doing is building a more sophisticated defense system. At the same time, the enemy knows what we're doing, so they're building a more sophisticated defense system that will block that defense system. And every time we get one built, someone somehow or another knows what we built and how we built it. So how would that possibly take place? Well, greed. Greed and no loyalty, of course. No loyalty, just the... And they taught it. They taught it, but they're caught up in their own teaching, see? They taught this corruption. The Nimrod School of Higher Learning teaches you... I know you've heard this saying, all is fair in lust and war. They say love, but it's not love. Is that it has nothing to do with love. Love is keeping the Yahweh's commandments. That's love. Praise Yahweh. Lust is fulfilling your desires for whatever you crave or desire without even reason, not even any reason put to it. That's why you have to buy storage buildings to put it in. Some of this stuff is bought, you know, without even thinking twice. Well, some of it is bought and even taken back to the store, you know, the next day. Well, I wanted it yesterday. I don't want it today. What would I do with this thing anyway? Then why did you want it in the first place? I don't know. They truly don't. They don't know why they bought this goofy thing. Some of them, you get Christmas presents. You say, look at that thing. Well, what am I going to do with this goofy thing? I've got to take it, you know. I've got to act like I'm this is what I was just planning on getting for myself. Take that thing and throw it in the trash. What would I ever do with it? Well, you see, this is the system that they put into your mind. And of course, now they got the television, the internet, and everything to place it more. And the more you watch it, the more you want to buy. Well, of course, now we've got enough common sense to see that what they're pushing is junk, and we're not buying it. So the people are now... come to another trend. And we see this in the Pope's visit, if I ever get to that Pope's visit. Well, Russia and China resist UN Syria sanctions push envoy. They are resisting heavily this. If you've got the foreign stations, if you got the foreign stations and are looking at it, I've got to read you something here that... I had my articles yesterday and all week, and then somehow I lost them, and I had to have a research team get it quickly for me again. But I don't know if you remember the book or the booklet, the article that we wrote that the House of Yahweh put out called the Real Reason for Global Warming, or the True Reason for Global Warming. Well, since that took place, now, they've formed a group of scientists that have really been looking into this and studying what is out there. It says, the effect of clouds on climate, a key mystery for researchers. Well, this research just started a few years ago, and it was after we brought this information on the firmament and how we have really damaged the firmament, and how the firmament actually controls our food supply, the water supply, the air we breathe, the fruit trees that bring us fruit, and the vegetables that come from the ground. All of that is controlled by the firmament that Yahweh made for man, and it was perfect when he made it. It fed the earth, it fed Yahweh's people, and he put man in the garden and commanded him through his laws, statutes, and judgments, guard this food supply. Now that is the message you see there of the kingdom. And that's the message Yahshua wants you to learn first, and says you've got to learn this first. then all this other will be added to you. Everything your heart desires can be given to you, and more so. You'll have voluptuous living. You'll have more than you could ever dream possible. And any desire that was righteous, you could create it in a few seconds or a few minutes just by giving the command, because you're going to have that power to do so. Everybody today, when they build something, they build it out of what Yahweh created. They take what the enzymes themselves built on the earth, the steel, it was made by enzymes. In fact, biology, if you've studied biology, you know that if you could suddenly reduce yourself to the size of a pinhead and you'd be sitting on top of a piece of iron bar, you could feel the little objects that iron, that steel is made out of. They're all alive. They're moving. This iron post right here is flexible. It's moving right now of live creatures. You can melt it down. You can form it in any shape you want to. But those objects, those live creatures are there. If a person had the power to do it, they could command this iron bar to turn to the shape of a wash tub, a big wash tub, and it would do it. Now that's the power you're going to have. Seek first this kingdom, and then all of this other will be added to you. But you can't serve Yahweh's kingdom and the world of mammon right now, which the world is full of mammon right now, and that's all they got their minds on, that and their lust. Their lust for fulfilling their lust. And that's the reason for all the buying. Well, that shift has changed now. But back to the clouds now. The effect of the clouds on climate, a key mystery for researchers. A climate scientist wrestles, or as climate scientists, more than one, wrestles with the complexities of how the planet will react to rising greenhouse gas levels. No variable is more difficult to decipher than the impact of clouds. It's hard to figure out the cloud, what forms the cloud. Well, we've told them what forms the cloud. We've told them, we've already brought that information to them, that Yahweh created it, it's there, and Yahweh can send it, or he can withdraw it. He can withdraw the rain, or he can send the rain. He sends it on the just and the unjust alike, he says, which means he sends it. How does he send it? He's given command to the firmament that he created. And that firmament on its own will not change. There's no changing it. That is in itself. But you can, it's like a city that is loyal to certain laws of Yahweh, and then it would not change on its own. But here comes a Roman army into it, and the threats and the killings and the murders and so forth change it. That's what we have done to our atmosphere, and the scientists now are trying to figure out, well, what is it that's doing this? How do we go about doing something else? How do we give the clouds a shot or a Band-Aid? How do we put a Band-Aid on a cloud? How do we give it a vaccine? Well, it's a little bit hard with that way of thinking. But thanks to new satellite data and other technologies, clues are emerging that may help solve the puzzle. Earth's climate is a complex, interrelated system involving the land, the atmosphere, biosphere, and the oceans. So you see, they're getting closer to understanding what Yahweh actually created. And then if they would go, and I think they're using our articles. This is what clued them in to studying this in the first place. He says, talking about certain tests that was made and certain changes they see in the clouds because of it. The long, strange journey of Earth's traveling microbes. Let me read that again. The long, strange journey of Earth's traveling microbes. Well, now they know, see, that the atmosphere, the firmament that Yahweh created, is filled with microorganisms that actually do their jobs. Some of them form raindrops. They know that. They've just found this out. Some of these microorganisms form raindrops, and they govern, these microorganisms govern how fast those raindrops will come down and how big the raindrops will be that come down. Now, that's what Yahweh created. When it gets out of hand, when the microorganisms can't do their job sufficiently, and they know this is their job now. Scientists know that this is the jobs of the microorganisms that govern these clouds. They know that for a fact. I've read you articles showing that they started studying this and they've found out about these microorganisms that actually govern the raindrops. When it gets out of hand, you can have 7 inches of rain in 7 minutes. Well, what does that do for the earth? Of course, there's floods. There's houses getting washed away, people getting washed away and killed. Well, that's what we have done to the atmosphere. We have damaged it so that now it's getting out of hand. Now droughts are taking place that are long lasting. Heat is taking place that is long burning. What in heaven is going on with the weather on earth? Well, maybe we should write an article, write a song about it. That would make a great song, and we could play it to the world. Microbes, it turns out, it says, are the hidden players in the atmosphere. They're just now finding this out, and this article is dated August 22nd. And this is a wonderful thing that they have just found out. Microbes, it turns out, are the hidden players in the atmosphere, making clouds, causing rain, spreading diseases. Yes, well, what are the diseases doing up there? Why are they there? Why are we finding STDs in the clouds? Do not commit fornication. Do not commit adultery. Don't be sodomizing people. Bestiality. Don't be doing any of these things. Seek this kingdom first. Making clouds, causing rain, spreading diseases between continents, even between continents. So, what they're doing, the sins they're doing in China, Russia, Japan, wherever, eventually it seeps here. But what the West is doing, and this is what they're upset about, especially all the Muslim nations who don't want this in their lives, the Muslim women want to protect themselves, and they're saying, no, you can't do this anymore. You've got to be like the West. Well, that's what the school of Nimrod did. And he was a tyrant. And he went out and said, you know, with a sword in his hand, turned upside down, you see a cross. Turned right side up, and you see a blade that kills. Well, either accept this or you die. Well, this was Nimrod. Well, he went out taking colonies, and he brought them to a certain location, and they put them in school. The school of Nimrod, created, fathered by Cush. Well, that's what you see throughout the earth today. Force them to do what you want them to do. Changing the climate as well. aerosols are leading the high life that's in the atmosphere today, but there's also many diseases in the atmosphere. The microbes are the most successful types of life on Earth and are the unacknowledged players in many planetary processes, particularly in the atmosphere. It's time we caught up with them, he says. Biologists have long known that many species of bacteria trigger frost damage on vegetation with other microorganisms. The most efficient, the bacteria have a gene that promotes spontaneous ice nucleotides. You can see the studies that is being made here. Now, with these studies now, they will find out what we've told them. They will find that it was man and sin that caused the atmosphere to be damaged. Now, Cuba attacks $1.5 trillion world armed spending. Cuba assumes the presidency of the Geneva-based conference on disarmament on Tuesday, insisting that the $1.5 trillion currently squandered on military expenditures and war each year should instead be used to promote social development. Now, here is a change that I want you to see, because there's more than just this that I've noticed in the news, but it's a change that we're seeing take place here, and it's going to take place even more than this. This is a wonderful thing that they're objecting to, and of course, soon we'll see the quartet do this, but not until 4/5 of the Earth's population is wiped out. Air Force. The Air Force halts. Jesus loves nuclear weapons. Training for missile officers. See if I can pull that up to where you can actually see that. Let me read you some more. For 20 years, U.S. Air Force officers training to operate America's missile silos were instructed on the morality of war and the launching of a nuclear attack. With the aid of quotes from the Bible and a former Nazi SS officer. As part of new missileers' instruction on Vandenberg Air Force Base, chaplains taught an ethics course that included a PowerPoint presentation that St. Augustine's Christian Just War Theory, as well as examples of biblical teachings that discuss the righteous way to conduct war. Well, now, if you just imagine what went on with Nimrod, the Nimrod system, that is, the confusion. Nimrod, of course, means rebel. And they built Babylon, which means confusion. So they brought forth a rebellious system against the kingdom of Yahweh, the basic morals, basic guarding the foods and everything we actually need. And this is going to be done throughout all eternity, and nothing will be created by you. And you wouldn't want to at that time. You shouldn't want to now. And I think you don't. I think you want to stick with this the way Yahweh made it. Praise Yahweh. Because at that time, when you receive your power to move this mountain from here over there, and it will move by command, you say unto this mountain, and it will move. That's by command. You will have that kind of power, but you will not create something for yourself or anyone else that could damage this kingdom that was given to Moshe that has to be guarded. That's our food supply. That's our way of life, and will always be. We will always be eating food and surviving, and we will do it throughout all eternity on the right kind of food, the way that Yahweh created it. But create one thing, as Cain did, and you start disrupting that way of life, that kingdom that Yahweh gave to Moshe. He also gave to Adam and Eve, presented it to them. Abel took him up on it and was teaching that. You must bring forth this kingdom yourself, and you must believe in it 100%. Praise Yahweh. Now, one more here. Drought puts Texas ranchers and cattle at risk. This is an unusual drought, and everyone knows it. In the cattle town of Emory in East Texas, the worst drought in state history is threatening a way of life. Scorching temperatures and a lack of rain have forced many ranchers to sell off their stock. If you noticed yesterday, if you watched the news yesterday afternoon, they were showing a football field, and they were showing the turf. And they were very careful to not over-exercise. And they were saying, you know, that they had to exercise because the other teams they know are pushing their teams to exercise, and we're going to win this game. Well, this is your competition that, of course, Nimrod created. That is, Cush created, and it was called Nimrod, the Nimrod system or school. Well, if you notice that what they said, the weatherman, they had the Channel 32 weatherman out there in the football field, and he says, I know the temperature is only 101, but he had this clock temperature that had a thermometer on it. He set it down on the ground, on the turf, and he said, but look at what we're actually dealing with. And I think it was 120 or 121. But that's what I was telling you last week, or week before last. Our men are doing the same thing, and now they have the lasers that reach down in the earth to see how deep this is getting, because we want to know, because certain parasites actually live down a ways, so it takes certain heat to kill them. But in doing this, you know, and stopping the rain, scorching temperatures, and a lack of rain have forced many ranchers to sell off their stock. Normally, before being brought to market, cattle are penned in a rancher's best pasture to be fattened. The heavier the cow, the more the buyer pays. But the animals at the recent Emory auction look pitiful. They're standing in 107-degree heat that's in the shade with their ribs showing, stressed out. It's been like this for the past 9 weeks. No rain, although these cows were bred for the heat, they weren't bred for this kind of heat. They look absolutely baked. Pour a little salt on them and start eating. Well, anyway, they're selling off their herds. They say the normal weekly range is about 700 head. Now it's over 1,000. About 100 to 200 head. The normal weekly range is about 100 to 200 head. Now it's from 700 to 1,000 cattle is being brought to the auctions, and they all look just about like this. They're skin and bones. Let's see, not that one. Oh, here's what I wanted. NATO nations set to reap spoils of Libya war. Well, of course, that's your Nimrod system. The NATO nations. And that's what it's all about. Remember, the Pope said you need to stop fighting among yourselves. and you need to join us on this crusade. Well, of course, this crusade that we're speaking of here was planned centuries ago, and as Malachi Martin brought out in his book, the Russian leader, Gorbachev, he said it wouldn't make any difference who's president. Their duties are already laid out for them. Nothing is going to change, he said. This thing is planned out, in other words. Well, Russia knew about it and knows about it today. That is, the Russian leaders know this. And of course, Malachi Martin said this is a three-way contest between the United States, Russia, and the Vatican. And each one of them expects to come out on top in the end. They expect to be the leaders, the leader of what few people are left when this thing is finished. And we're talking about nuclear war, that is planned nuclear war, that has been planned now since the nuclear bombs were invented. And they said, this is the way we can use them, and these are the people that we can knock off in this use. These are the unwanted people, and their lands are rich and wealthy. This is the same thing the popes did in the Crusades, in killing off people who were of Galilee, whose propaganda spread, the message, that is, of Yahweh spread by mouth to mouth throughout the world, and different people took it up and said, well, I want to follow this. So this is what the Creator teaches. Well, this other group, the Nimrod system, says, no, we can't go back to that. You know, we can't allow that to get started. It spreads like gangrene. Well, guess what? It's spreading. And not like gangrene, but like righteousness does, like prophecies do. May the peace of Yahweh be with you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.